Hey, podcast listeners, the Crown Refs Mentor Program and community just recently celebrated our 2-year anniversary, and Patreon's been busy making their platform even better, and we're thrilled to share with you these updates. Patreon now has a collections tab, which features quick and easy access to our entire catalog, which includes over 25 of our exclusive shows and series, like Signal School, Rapid Responses, Guest Speakers, Crown Classics, Game Notes, Verbal Judo, The Wonderful Women of Officiating, The Sunday Swish, The CR Vlog, and Rule Resources, just to name a few. Not sure which tier is right for you? Our updated Crown Refs page has got you covered with a clear breakdown of each tier's offerings. And there's more. Patreon is now offering free 7-day trials to give you a delicious taste test of what's cooking inside of our ref kitchen. You can check out the reimagined Patreon app, complete with community chats. Plus, we're introducing a new shop tab where you can grab individual episodes, exclusive instructional how-to videos, PDFs, pregame cards, whether you're a Patreon member or not. If our content has brought you any value in the past, we are kindly asking that you please consider joining the Crown Refs Mentor Program and Community for Officials. As soon as you sign up, I will personally send you a welcome email, so then you can get access to our 36 Discord community channels. You can go to patreon.com/crownrefs or click the link in this episode to come explore the future of Crown Refs on Patreon. I can't wait to work with you and introduce you to our incredible community. You're amazing.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs Podcast, the audio experience for basketball officials. Serve the game.
Coach, I understand why you think he jumped straight up. In my opinion, the defender jumped from A to B. He actually jumped to the side.
Okay.
So that's why I had a foul. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I like that.
I wasn't asking you. Respectfully.
I'm taking it.
I was role playing. I was asking the coach.
Yeah, either way, I was the coach. I would have been like, okay.
Welcome back to Chapter 4 of the Portia and Pauly Pod. It's been an honor to do the first 3 chapters with you. I know you've enjoyed it. I'm glad to be back with you for Chapter 4. How you doing, Portia?
Doing pretty good, Paul. Doing pretty good. I can't complain. Living life, man. My AC is not working properly, so I'm living on faith and in the window unit right now in this heat. So,
listen, let faith empower you and take
Absolutely.
You where you want to go.
100%.
So we got to start. We got to rewind 2 weeks ago. I got to see you again at Roger Ayers camp for the 2nd year in a row. When I saw you in year 1, we just made eye contact and it was an instant attraction. We knew we were going to be friends.
Absolutely.
And then a year later, we got to see each other again. That was an awesome experience.
Yes.
So I just want to hear your feedback and feelings from that weekend.
Yeah, camp was great. That was my 2nd camp of the season. So this year, last year I only did 1. This year I did 2. Had to go back to Rogers camp. I learned so much like last year that I felt like it would be extremely beneficial to hear some of the similar things again. You know, it's repetition. So I enjoyed seeing some people that I saw last year. A couple of the clinicians that were there last year were there this year. And I got some good feedback and some things, some extra things to work on for this upcoming season. So I'm excited to put all of that in good use. If I can utilize what I learned last year and put together what I learned again this year, I feel like this season is going to be a good season. So, but camp was great. I think what got me like really thinking about officiating and that it really is like its own separate community was when Les, you know, kind of teared up a little bit on stage. That was super dope. I really felt like the many, many years I could see that in what he was talking about with gaining friends and having the support from his family and having faith in God. And it was really cool to hear and just kind of be a part of. So, you know, I sat there and thought while he was talking, like, man, I hope that I have some of those same experiences, you know, because it seemed like they impacted his life in a positive way. So, you know, just trying to stay humbled with this game. It can be hard sometimes, but being around some people that's been doing it for 30 plus, 40, 50 years, that's just a blessing in itself. So it was cool to see everybody and keep learning. I enjoyed it.
So you just finished your second camp season. You've grown a ton since the 365 days prior. What are some of your takeaways from this camp season? What did you learn about yourself that you want to start improving on?
The one thing I learned about myself, just within game management, is not trusting my partners as much. And I know, Paul, you talk about that a lot. The importance of trusting the people that you're on the floor with, because that's pretty much all you have. So just learning that that's a part of my game that's going to help me sort of slow down. I'm also learned that I'm kind of quick on the whistle, and I think that's just a lack of trust in the people that I'm on the floor with. So just recognizing that and working to, you know, allow my partners the space on the floor with me. I'm not out there alone, and I have to remember that. So it's just, you know, being patient and trust, pretty much. Patience and trust is what I've learned out of the second camp season. And just slowing myself down, not working myself up too much. It's easier said than done. It's just, you know, just utilizing positive self-talk. I've used that a lot this season. And it's helped. So just slowing down, being patient, building some trust. That's what I'm going to work on going into this next season.
Positive self-talk only. It's been a big thing I've been pushing lately, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting you said that, because sometimes in those micro moments of the game, we actually forget that we have partners.
Yeah.
You feel like you're out there alone in a 1 second window.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just having that trust in the team and in the crew, and remembering that we can't do it alone, but there's nothing that we can't get through if we do it together. So
yeah,
it was such a great experience for me too. Obviously Roger sets the tone for everything. It all trickles down from the culture that he's established for 20 plus years. So being around him is great. Being around his staff is outstanding. And then seeing campers for multiple years, this is the third year I've been. So I've seen some of these people three straight Junes. And then on top of that, the best part, well, I get to be a clinician. I get to teach. I get to connect and coach people that want to learn.
Yeah.
So that puts me right in my sweet spot. And then on top of all that, I get to see the Crown Refs community. I mean, we went down with 11 people. We came back. There's 13. We added two while we were down there. But just being together with everybody. I mean, I observed you in a game with two other Crown refs. One other one that I'm working one-to-one with. So I'm like, yo, this is amazing.
Nice. Super dope. Super cool. Yeah, I seen the fella. Oh, I can't remember his name. That just joined the group.
Kendrick.
From North Carolina.
Kenrick.
Yeah, I saw Kenrick, and then there was another fella from North Carolina, but I cannot for the life of me think of his name.
That just joined yesterday?
Within the past 2 days.
Justin Freeman.
Yes, I had the pleasure of meeting that dude at the ODAC camp, and we just kind of clicked and instantly vibed. So I was happy to see his picture pop up when you posted him on Instagram. I was like, dang, look at this, full circle. So, we definitely clicked. He's a cool dude. I love his vibe. So calm on the floor. Like, that's kind of what I want to be on the court. You know what I mean? Just real calm, cool, and collected, confident, and the whistle and what they're calling, and able to back it up with a, you know, viable explanation. So, just a cool dude. So, it was good to see him, you know, kind of come along.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, he seems very solid. I felt bad because he joined, I'll let everybody know, inside scoop, but he joined back in February. And some people that join on Patreon, there's a small percentage of them that for some reason I never get in touch with them, or they never respond back to my initial email.
Yeah.
When somebody signs up, I get immediately notified. I then reach out to them. They have access to Patreon as soon as they sign up, but in order to get access to Discord, I need to send them the private link.
Right.
But before I do that, I like to connect with them, get to know them, set up a call. But I send out a welcome email. So long story short, he never responded to the welcome email because, in his words, he wasn't as hungry at the time.
Yeah.
So I guess he didn't want to jump all the way in. So anyway, he hit me up yesterday morning and he said, how do I get access to Discord? And I'm like, oh, you have to join our Patreon. He's like, oh, I've been a member since February. I'm like, wait a sec. I'm just scratching my head. I'm like, because he didn't come up in the search because he logged in as Jay Free and not Justin Freeman. So then I noticed it was him. He sent me a screenshot. I'm like, oh, man, yeah, we got to get you. We got to get you, you know, signed in. So,
yeah, no doubt.
I'm happy we did. We got him in. And then he attended the first session yesterday, the NCAA Women's Rules Review session. So
nice.
He made a good day one impression.
Yeah, good.
So we are here to watch some of your film now. Looking forward to it. Just final note on Virginia. I have a lot of great content from that day too that I'll be getting in the mail soon. But I'm probably not going to be able to edit it for a couple months. I'm a little backed up.
Nice. I'm excited to see it, man. I really am.
So what do you remember about this game? This is a game from back in January. Tough to recall.
Yeah,
some of these earlier games, but anything that stand out?
Not on the top of my head. This was mostly just game management. This was my first varsity game of 2023. I had a few earlier in the season that was just kind of non-district games. So this one was one that I got to bring in the new year with. So it was good. I had worked with these two fellas. The big guy at the top of the screen.
God bless him, by the way.
He's a rules guy. He's the rules guy. He likes his rules, and he's busy. He's a busy varsity ref. Like, I'm talking about double headers.
yeah, buddy.
And I mean multiple nights in a week. I think this game here, when we were talking before the game, he said that was his like fourth game in a row. So
he's working. He's out here working.
Yeah, man. He's a good dude. He's good with the coaches. He has good interpersonal skills. He's got good communication skills. Super positive guy. Great partner to have. Very encouraging. Gives you good feedback. Good dude.
It's awesome.
I can't say a bad thing about Mr. Dooley. We was actually talking about Mr. Dooley in the barbershop this morning about how good of a guy he was.
By the way, I love how you just ran into the screen just now. You just exploded onto the screen and trail.
Didn't even see it. I'm running my mouth.
You're running your legs fast is what I'm saying. Don't be afraid to take another step on that play. Yeah, as the ball is on the opposite block,
sure.
Don't just be conscious of not being too wide, because the wider we are, the less we're going to be connected to the contact that occurs.
Okay.
All right, so we got you in trail.
Yes. Should I come down? Oh, I actually did come down some.
Good. We're always stepping in between every matchup, trying to get in between the offensive and defensive player.
Okay.
See that space within or between. That's the one thing about doing these film podcasts is I always have to like cut these parts, do a little editing where I can't just throw this one up without editing. I do way less and less editing as I go on. I do way less podcast editing.
Yeah.
I just, if we do a long clip, I'm only editing the first minute and the last minute. I'm just trimming it. All right, let's see your first call of the game.
I got a good old handy dandy foul. Drive to the basket.
I don't know if we like handy dandy fouls. It sounds like we might not like that category of fouls.
I think it's just the terminology. This is a good old drive to the basket. You gotta love a good drive play in the league. Good cut.
So first thing that comes to mind here is as this pass is happening, you got to get your eyes to that defender. And I don't know if your eyes were it looks like your eyes are there. That's great. I love that. There's a good teaching point as far as like when to get your eyes. So right now there's really no one in your area. So you're looking at these two defenders in white, and then obviously probably have a sense of where the ball is coming. Boom. So so soon as this pass happens, you got to know what 10 does with it. You know, if she catches it cleanly, all that, but your primary responsibility is just watching this defender the whole time. because a lot of times on these plays, we don't get our eyes to the defender, and then we turn and see the contact, and it's just an instant reaction. And what do? Do you think we hit our hips or go behind the head on those types?
That goes back to camp moment. I would say
when we just react to the play and don't see the defender long enough, do you think refs, a majority of the times, call that a block or a charge?
A block.
The block. Yeah. And what did you call? Okay, so take me through that contact, why you had a foul.
So I had a foul because that second, the defender that came down that I was watching, she went into her body with the offensive player's body. So I can't remember if I called a push or a block on that, but that was the contact that I had saw. Like, she was good vertical, but she kind of did like a oomph into her as she was airborne.
I actually love this call. If this was my play, I don't know. I don't think NCAA Women's has this signal. Don't quote me. I'm not 100, but I would go A to B.
A to B.
I would go A to B because she, if you notice, she jumps to the side.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And these plays are hard because her body is vertical.
Right.
But then her jump is not vertical. It's to the side. It's not an A to A. If she's jumping straight up, she's going to jump from A. She's going to land in A. The reason why this is called an A-B foul is because she jumps from A and she lands in B, not letting the shooter land free of contact, free of illegal contact.
So how
would you describe that play to the coach? Hey, Portia, how was that a foul? My girl jumped straight up.
Coach, she did jump straight up, but if I called the foul, I don't know, my words are not coming out.
But I just got to cut that one off because if she jumps straight up, then that's verticality. So we don't
take it
somewhere else again. Portia, how was that a foul? She jumped straight up.
Coach, she moved into the defender towards the side as the offensive player was going up. And she did not allow her space to land safely.
Okay.
That's all I got.
It's pretty solid.
That's all I got. And college, I'm looking in the college mechanics. There is no A to B in that.
Okay. So don't bring that terminology in.
Yeah.
If this was me for a coach, I would say, Coach, I understand why you think he jumped straight up. In my opinion, the defender jumped from A to B. He actually jumped to the side.
Okay.
So that's why I had a foul.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I wasn't asking you. Respectfully.
I'm taking it.
No, I was role playing. I was asking the coach. That was my final line.
Either way, I was the coach. I would have been like, okay.
This episode of the Crown Refs podcast is brought to you by RefereeStore.com. To save 15% on all United Attire products, enter CROWN15 at checkout. We hope you enjoy this episode, and do us one last favor before you listen. Have a great rest of your day.
So for you not using A to B,
it's always
good when you almost kind of agree with them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I hear you. If you thought they jumped straight up, I understand why you said that. In my opinion, then you just take it somewhere else.
Okay.
From my angle, from my vantage point,
in
my positioning, my look, just giving you slight variations, you pick and insert where you think it'll be.
Now, I've used from my angle quite a bit since understanding that term and understanding how much angles plays a role in basketball. But I use that a lot, and I haven't had any pushback when I say from my angle. I feel like those words are words that a coach can understand. Like, okay, maybe they weren't at a good angle. You know what I mean? Like, so I've had a coach be like, okay, all right, I got you. I can see that. You know what I mean? So, and then it kind of diffuses the whole conversation.
Yeah, you're giving them more details, and you're not just telling them what the call is. You're just saying, from what I saw, this is what I have. It's a more humble approach.
Right.
Remember, we don't got to show the two.
Right.
Two shots. But I like that you reported a push. Push signal is good, but snap it more. The motion is nice and straight. You start it as your hands are pulled back, but finish with pop.
I don't need to show that two a second time, do I?
Yeah, at the table, you always want to show the two.
Well, at the table, yeah. But when I turn it back around to tell my partners, they know. So I don't need to do that. Right?
I do it again, too. Okay. To be honest, yeah. All right. I report white 24 hits, two shots, and then I'll go to my partners, two shots. And then when I go to the line, if I'm administering, I show the two on the side.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then same thing with the one.
Gotcha.
Free throw mechanics, free throw signals. Great hustle down the court to be in a position to see that no call. I like the no call. Great coverage. Yeah, you're really covering the court well. There was no need to backpedal there.
Gotcha.
That last possession.
Just go. Do a look back.
Either go or don't.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you backpedaled again.
Did I? I know. And you would think I would have learned because last summer, I was doing a team camp and I fell and rolled and everything. It was fantastic. I looked real good down there. Players came over, was like, help me up. I was like, I'm good, guys. You go ahead, keep playing.
Yeah, because you don't care what others think of you and you don't get embarrassed because you're mentally strong.
Yeah,
and emotionally sound.
We all do it. If you backpedaling at a fast rate, 9 out of 10 times, you about to trip over your own feet. I don't know what I was thinking, and I know better than that, too.
I feel like I'm a quicker backpedaler than I am a forward pedaler.
Fair. I just know in my experiences, it didn't end well.
I really have explosive arms when I backpedal. I think that's how you got to do it. That's the hack.
Yeah, it is. You know what? Yeah. Because you're almost like your arms are pulling you backwards.
Right. So shouldn't it work the same way if you're going forwards?
You would think, but yeah, maybe not because you're more open.
No, I think it does, actually. I notice when I have a quick first step, it's because I have quick, explosive, like, first arm step, so to speak.
Yeah, okay.
Like, when I'm getting into that running motion with my arms, the first couple frames of that is explosive, and it kind of just powers me through the rest of my run.
Yeah, all right. I feel that. I've been doing the elliptical, the no-hand elliptical, so I'm just kind of, like, killing it, crushing it, trying to change up my cardio a little bit.
I lost a lot of weight on the elliptical.
Did you?
Yeah, a lot of weight. Because I found that machine burned the most calories, at least, like statistically speaking, what the machines give you.
Yeah.
So I used to spend a lot of time. I would go watch TV and just be on there an hour and a half at a time. Wow. And I'd be wearing plastic bags, which you should not be doing.
You were a plastic bagger.
Yeah. When I had to lose 100... Yeah, I was a plastic bagger. I used to cut a plastic bag, put it under my shirt, and then go to the gym and be just soaked.
Yeah.
And then probably go back at night and do it again.
Wow.
Yeah. I had to lose that 100 portion.
I feel that. Sometimes you got to get, I mean, that's a whole nother person.
Mm-hmm. You had to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got an out-of-bounds play. Great commentary, by the way, or at least I'm enjoying it. But you do have a call. So why'd you have a whistle here? It seems a little far out.
Can we trust
our partner here?
Probably.
Yeah. Great 3-point signal. Okay. Love the symmetry. Love the symmetry of your arms.
I'm gonna keep it. I've been trying to get it kind of a little tighter.
Okay, out of bounds. What do you got? Stop the clock. Getting crossed up. You sure about that?
Yeah. Well, it went off the back of the front of White's foot, but all at the same time as that all simultaneously happened, the girl in the green ended up on the floor. So I watched her fall to make sure that there wasn't any other contact that caused her to fall. And then all in all of that, I was like, shit, nothing happened. I think she just fell over her own feet. We're out of bounds. So that was just me processing that.
Got
in that moment. Yeah.
So you know how sometimes we get crossed up, we stop the clock with our left and then have to point with our right? Or in your specific situation, it'd be stopping the clock with the right. And then if we were staying with white, we would then point with the left. Mm-hmm. Just a quick tip so we don't get crossed up. If green is retaining the possession, which they did in this case, you would stop the clock with the right, which you did, and then you point with the right. If white was going to get that ball, as you're calling the out of bounds and you're blowing your whistle and you're processing who's getting the ball, that's going to determine which arm you go up with. Because if white is keeping the ball and we're going up with our left and we're pointing with our left. So it's just giving it that extra frame of time to understand which direction we're going, which will then tell us which arms we're going to use.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would say in lead, we don't want to ever really come get a hand check foul out by the three-point line or even in this key area. Okay. We definitely don't want to come out of primary and lead for a hand check. I'm pretty certain on that. So just having a little bit of patience, giving your partner a chance to call, and also making sure our eyes are refereeing the defenders that are in our primary. So just self-talking your eyes where they should be looking.
Yeah.
Because they want to go where they want to go.
Right.
We got to tell them where to go. Chop. You brought your chop a little too low. Keep it at a right angle, I feel. The finish is right at that right angle.
Okay. Got it.
A 90.
Oh, man, we're getting another storm.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We had a bad one yesterday. I mean, lightning was covered the whole entire sky. It was like sharp bolts of lightning coming down. I was like, what in the... This is the heat. It's super hot here. This is the hottest summer I think we've had in a while.
Our last three conversations, we've talked about weather from the Canada smoke to another one and then to last night, the lightning. So we've had the same exact weather is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I saw lightning last night too. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was dangerous. Yeah, I know. I know. It was pretty though. But some guy, there's a guy that takes pictures around that time here, like of the mountains when the weather's changing. Phenomenal pictures because it's beautiful up here when the weather's changing, especially from like summer to spring to fall. Gorgeous.
He's like a tornado chaser.
Pretty much, because he drove at least 35 minutes to come here to get on top of a parking garage to take pictures of the lightning. And he was out there until like 12:30 this morning.
That's a pro move.
I said, dude, you're wilding. You need to go sit down somewhere, man. That's crazy.
He's about his craft.
He clearly. I don't know if I would have been on top of a parking garage here. They were tight lightning bolts. It looks even cooler with the mountains too.
That's a lot of risk for some content.
What are you doing, Paul? You should be like dangling from ceilings, getting the good angles.
I'm being safe.
True. I feel like I was up a little high in the C there.
Defender. That's your play. Good. No call. Good defense. We play on. In that case, you know, the lead's got to totally defer to you as the lead is running parallel to that play.
Mm-hmm.
And is looking across the court and probably looking through a defender. Mm-hmm. So that's your play the whole time. So remember that when you're in C. And then conversely, remember it when you're in lead, knowing that you're not going to have an open look on a play that's across the basket line on the opposite block and going away from you.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like we might want to start a show and just do commentary on top of a game. Like, we're the announcers.
Which would be amazing.
That would be kind of fun, right?
No, that'd be cool.
I think we should start a new series. You know, we'll talk a little bit about some of the shots, you know, oh, good play, you know, great crossover dribble there, but better verticality by the defender.
That would be amazing. I would listen to that every episode.
Well, I think not only it could be educational, I think it could be entertaining, and I think it could be helpful for the players and coaches as well.
I believe so. I agree with that. Yeah, I also saw Chris signed up too, my boy Chris Roberts.
Yes.
That's my guy.
That was great. That was great. Such a good dude. He looks like a great dude.
He is, man. I'm telling you, the way you saw him at camp, he's like that about 99.9% of the time. And I'm taking 0.1% because I'm not with him all the time. But when I'm with him, he's never He doesn't have a bad thing to say about anybody. He's very optimistic, very positive. Even better partner, too.
Yeah, I want to go to like a barbecue with him and just give Facts. Him a hug. Give just him a hug.
Chill the whole time. Both of y'all sitting in the corner with y'all's arms around each other. That would be amazing. Yeah. Nah, he's a good dude. I think I told you, I know his wife.
Yep.
From, oh man, long, yeah, long time ago.
And that's why it's such an easy conversation when you basically hand him off to me after seeing you on court six, and then I get to sit down with him for 15 minutes, knowing the history he has with you.
Yeah.
It's like such an easy entryway
yeah.
into the community. So that's what we love when we get when we promote from within, so to speak, or we bring our friends in.
I was happy. I was happy when I saw his name pop up. He actually sent me a screenshot of what you posted on Instagram. He sent it to me that same day. I was like, man, that's dope. I'm glad. Welcome to the family. So,
cool. All right, let's practice for our commentary play-by-play show. All right, let's fill the time with some commentary.
Okay.
Feel free to chime in at any point. I mean, and then we'll get to some of your plays, of course, but we're just going to shift today, I think.
All right. I like it. Change the vibe up.
All right, so we got Cave Spring up 16-13.
It was a decent game. It was a decent game in the first. I don't even know. It says quarter overtime. Is that overtime four or?
The scoreboard is messed up on our end.
It's
so we don't even know what quarter it is.
I don't even know. Look, it's second. Second quarter. Second. 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes.
It's displaying the fourth overtime.
And yeah. I don't know. What could have that – what that could have – I feel like could have had a whistle on it maybe. Go back.
Sure.
Right there on – at a half court. Is a half court. Northside had the ball. There it is right there.
That dive, there's, you want me to bring that back? Or are you saying the
yeah, foul? Yeah, yep. The whatever that collision was at half court.
You punted like, it.
Yeah, I was trying to see where I was. Where was I in that area or? Oh no, I was in the sea across the court. See.
Okay, so what do you think after seeing that? This is a good play to talk about.
I feel like that could have been. I would like to put a whistle on it and call it a blocking foul on the three white.
Oh, you would now.
Yes.
Oh, that's spicy.
In my opinion, it looks like the three white just ran into number 21, Green.
Let's go back and certify if the defender is legal or illegal.
Yes.
Insert sound effect. We're going to go frame by frame here. Does she ever establish a legal guarding position with 2 feet on the floor facing the opponent?
It looks like it, yeah.
Okay, so here she's legal. Now,
yeah, she's legal
the next
here.
Thing we're determining is she maintaining her legal guarding position.
Okay. Uh-oh. Oh, no. What happened? There we are. Okay.
Did you miss that?
I did. My computer did some weird thing. Completely went off the screen.
Well, tell your computer to please not do it again, and seriously. I will rewind to that spot.
This thing is crazy. Okay.
Okay, so we've already established legal guarding position. Now we want to know if she's maintained.
Oh, well, I stand corrected. Now, if she maintained that she was legal all the way through, that's a charge.
That's a charge.
That's
okay.
a charge.
Okay. So contact-wise...
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you that
mm-hmm.
that's a charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, big picture awareness. Let's take this play a step higher.
Okay.
Do we want to stop the game here?
No, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So it's
just
not
from
a charge.
The look of it. It's just it's well.
Contact wise, in, yes.
Yes, contact purely. Wise, absolutely. I just wanted to see it. I did not see that. I don't remember that during this game specifically. Probably because I was so far away from it. But, yeah, from here, definitely illegal contact. on that play. But I agree with you. There's no need to interrupt the game. Northside's down.
And this is the gray area of the game because we're talking about just purely from a contact point of view, what do you think this is? But in the context of the game and this exact moment where the players are, we're going to let this play on because then it creates a outnumbering fast break for white. Now, let's say green, let's say white doesn't steal that ball and green gets off that pass. Does that change your mind at all? Does that make it a whole new play?
You said, say that again. You said
sure. Green, we didn't call it a charge because white wound up getting the steal and it led to a fast break. If green gets the pass off successfully to her teammate, that does that change the outcome of that play for you? Are you then focusing on the illegal contact that we might have had?
No.
Okay.
No, and I say no because I feel like it kind of still remains the same. Like it's still you're stopping Green from having an opportunity to score. So I think either way you look at it is going to interrupt the game in a negative way. It's just going to slow the pace of the game down. So yeah, I in my opinion, I don't think that it would change the trajectory of not calling that illegal contact. I think you're still giving Green the opportunity to get a shot off, play on.
So based on, I would just recommend to you that the fact that we had a turnover does change the outcome of that contact that we agreed was a pure charge. So if we don't have a turnover now and Green now has the advantage, so we're basically now no calling that charge. The only reason why we no called it in the first place is because her teammate stole the ball.
Stole the ball, right.
If the teammate didn't steal it, then we might stop that play and call that a charge, right? So that's all I'm saying. Keep these big picture things in mind. It's tough to just recreate the play, hypothetically speaking. So I understand it could be confusing, but just keep that big picture mentality in mind.
Yeah.
On deflections, on turnovers, on loose balls.
For
just
sure.
Surveying the court, taking an extra second to really process the flow and where the ball's going.
Oh yeah, I see. I don't know. I didn't see it play all the way through. Yeah, I see what you mean. With her stealing the ball, going down. I mean, yeah, absolutely. So fun fact: I went to Northside.
Okay.
So I was nervous through this game. I played with the coach. She was my teammate, Northside.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the Cave Spring coach, she was the assistant coach of both of us. So it's like full circle in this game.
And were they completely respectful to you? Or did they?
Absolutely. No, yeah. They were great.
They didn't switch up on you?
Nah, they didn't switch up on me. They didn't switch. I mean, it was normal vibes throughout this game. There wasn't both female coaches, great coaches. The white team's coach has coached for a really long time. And she's just a great person. You know, coaches, I feel like get that bad name, as does officials, but she's all around good. She doesn't, you know, she's not immature. You know, she is very vocal in her coaching, but it's toward the kid, you know, towards the kids, not so much the officials. So
what do you think of your, sorry to cut you off and thank
no,
you.
No, you're
Sharon.
Fine.
What do you think of your positioning here in trail on this inbound?
Too far out.
Where should you be?
I'd say maybe about five steps down, three to five more steps down to be engaged in the play. I'm way past the 28 foot mark.
Yeah, and you're on the court too. Should be sideline. So yeah, 28 foot mark right on the sideline.
Yeah.
Same thing here. We got to step down and work this 28 foot so we could be closer to this play. Especially with how you're running lately.
I know it's not like I have to remember that too. It's not like I'm going to get beat, you know? I know that I'm not going to get beat.
You're not going to get beat. And if you do, it'll happen once or twice in the game.
Exactly.
It probably won't matter.
Yeah, not only did I learn to trust myself, I trust my partners, but I learned to trust myself more as well throughout this camp season.
It starts there.
Yeah.
Can't trust anybody if you don't trust yourself.
That's true. So number 21 for the green team, she was pretty much kind of like their star player. She kept getting substituted in and out of the game, and she was not happy about that. So her attitude reflected her game, and so she wasn't in it that much. Once she was taken out, they definitely pulled away. But she was not happy.
Yeah, getting sent to the bench, there's nothing happy about it.
No.
I mean, I've never been happy going to the bench or striking out or not being able to play. Just not fun.
I mean, just her body language throughout the game was, you could tell she was over it. She came from Patrick Henry High School here, where she pretty much shined at that school, and then she came over to Northside, and it was her last year. She was a senior this year, so I was like, man, that's unfortunate. You get sent from a city school to a county school here, you're gonna tell the difference. It's a huge difference here, just demographics, comfortability.
Sure. I wanted to see you dribble it through your legs there.
I try to keep my ball handling skills under wraps.
Rec game, you go.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's rec game behavior for sure.
Give a little hesitation before you're about to inbound it.
Oh, definitely. We're half court shots too during rec games. Those are fun.
That's gutsy.
Very. Parents hate it. I don't blame them.
I'm more of like a layup guy or in the paint floater.
Yeah, okay.
Guy in timeouts. That's something subtle. The slow spin.
Don't put too much attention on yourself. Me, I can't help it. I stay in trouble.
Mm-hmm. You ever see Ref Buckets?
No.
You don't see that guy? You should check him out on Instagram. He's a ref, okay. but he's a basketball player. He plays in like celebrity basketball games with his ref jersey on.
That's amazing.
He's like the Allen Iverson of basketball referee players. Yeah, he's the greatest. He's the greatest ref player we've ever seen.
Yeah,
yeah, he's so out here making mixtapes. It's hilarious.
That's amazing. I know.
Shout out to Ref Lalai. I think I said his name right. All right, Portia, we got to be closing down here. I hear this boy crying in the back.
Uh oh. For the rebound.
Let's look at this play.
Okay.
This is a quick steal. Getting back, finding the defenders. Okay. Where are we going? So just give me that point a little bit sooner because I don't know who the foul's on. I don't know where we're going.
Got 50 white. I called a charge is what it looks like.
You called a charge?
I did. I don't know how. Yeah, it's attempted steal. Boom. Yeah, I called the charge right there.
Did anyone probably have just player control? Wait, no, but you called a foul on the girl coming in on White, no? She didn't have the ball.
I'm confused. I don't know what I did.
You called a foul on White. Looks like a loose ball foul.
Mm-hmm.
As Green was going to get it, White player comes and just pushes. Boom, right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Green's getting the ball. We're going this way. So, foul, boot, this way. And then that's a push.
Push. Okay.
Push, yep. Yeah, so just kind of a couple calls. You were a little hesitant in the time between your stopping of the clock and then presenting the signal. I know the one time on the out-of-bounds play and then just there. Rebounding plays, either we're staying here or we're going that way. Like, same thing with loose ball plays. If you're calling a foul on a loose ball, then show me which direction we're now going.
Okay.
It's just a good additional step to provide clarity for the game. Hold on. Let me go get this dude real quick.
Oh, snap. Pauly D. Jr. Hey, bud. Hey. Yo. It fits. Hey, bud.
Hey, you wake up from a nap unexpectedly, and then we put you right in the booth for a podcast.
That's right. That's how you, that's, hey, that's hustle. That's all grind. Discipline. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
He is the cutest little dude ever.
Thank you.
Like, I swear, Paul, you cannot question. That kid looks exactly like you, man. Every time I see him, I'm like, God, he looks like Paul so much. It's crazy.
I don't even see it.
Well, that's because you're
Isn't that crazy? No, but I knew my daughter looked like me. I get it all the time. My neighbor, as soon as I walk out, oh, my God, looks just like you. And I look every day, and I'm just like, huh, yeah, I really don't see it. Sometimes I do.
Nah, yeah, he does.
Let's finish. We'll finish. He's going to finish out the half with you.
He's so cute.
Thank you.
I'm jealous. He took a nap. I guess I'm going to take a nap now that freaking rain's coming. I was going to go wash my truck.
Are you a napper?
On the weekends now, yes. My sleep is very limited during the week.
A couple times, too, did you notice, like, on a no call, you would just, like, take a step towards the play, but not – it was more of a reactionary.
I have noticed me doing that, yes.
Yeah, the last possession in particular, you just kind of aggressively took a step up to – it just seemed unnecessary.
Okay.
It wasn't a position adjustment, even though you were moving, but you're just moving forward, I think, unnecessarily. Just something to keep in mind. Staying a little bit more composed in those spots. Get that hand straight up. And then did you notice the slight hesitation again from the point?
No, it skipped on my end, but I believe you.
Yeah, it went out of bounds, and then you got your arm up. It was bent. And then, you know, you thought about it a second, and then you pointed. It's got to be boom, boom, explosion, explosive. Not explosive in a rushy kind of way, but just, I mean, with burst.
Okay.
All right. I'm liking, I tell you, get better and better every time. Feeling more confident. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the just the more command out of you. And you really love this, so it shows. Yeah. It's, you know, it's, that stuff shows long term. It pays off. It starts to really become visible.
Right. Good.
So, any final questions for me as we wrap up?
Not that I can think of. I didn't know y'all was doing the women's talk yesterday. I was pissed when I saw that before you called that. I had missed that. I was like, dang, man, I always miss those ones. Do y'all record those, or it's just kind of like you got to be on there to get the juice?
Those are great sessions now because we just finally, I think, solidified the format, and we use an app called RefHQ, which gives us test questions right from the book.
Yeah, I have that.
Yeah, it's great. And I've never done it collectively as part of a session, but we all went around one by one. We read the question, we answered it ourselves, and then kind of spoke about it briefly and then went on. So that's going to be a reoccurring. So this is my long-winded answer. Excuse you, sir. This is my long-winded answer of we're going to be doing a lot more of these rules review. You okay, pal? You all right? Get it out. So he loves my water bottle.
I see. He was eyeing something. Look at it. Look at the smile before, too. That's amazing.
It's huge. It's a half a gallon.
That's awesome. But, yeah, no, man, I'm everything's pretty chill. Everything's pretty chill. About to start reading these rule books, high school, and the college one that I have, just to kind of familiarize myself with those rules and understandings, so... Cool. May have some rules questions next time.
Let's do it.
So,
well, it's been great watching your film the last few times, and I'm gonna go back and edit this and try to get it out as soon as I can. So I'll let you know. But have a great weekend. Good. Enjoy your nap. I'll see you next time, and I look forward to it.
Yes, sir. You too.
Peace.
All right, later, Paul.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs Podcast. Serve the game.